Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Some history, just to set the background for the scripture today. Pontius Pilate, and he's our focus. Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor. He had his headquarters in Caesarea, which was a very nice place down on the Mediterranean. But he had come up to Jerusalem to reinforce the garrison there because it was the Passover. And if you remember, the meaning of the Passover recalls the escape of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And you can understand how Pilate was concerned that this is good kindling for a revolt with people who didn't want Roman rule. They wanted their independence. So he's come up to reinforce the garrison. That's why he's in Jerusalem. At the same time, the Jewish priests bring Jesus to Pilate. And that's because they want to get rid of him. They do not have the power to give the death penalty. Pilate does, and that's why they've come to him. Now, Pilate, in our reading, I think you'll find, if you want to be a good leader, if you want to be a really good leader in whatever your endeavor may be, don't follow Pontius Pilate. Okay? See if you can identify what he does wrong in our reading today. And stay away from it in your own lives. Okay? Here we go. Matthew 27. Now at the festival, that's the Passover, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone they wanted. At the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want to release to you? Who do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas, a terrorist? Or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream that I've had about him." Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. There's agitators working the crowd. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" And all of them said, "Let him be crucified." And then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. This Lent we've been focusing on people and events in the last week of Jesus' life. And if you remember, we started with Mary of Bethany. She was the one who connected the dots. She's the one who realizes Jesus is going to his death. And then we saw Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and that prayer of his, Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And then last week, we looked at Peter's denial of Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest's home. You know, where he says, I don't know the man. You're crazy. I don't know this one at all. Today, we turn to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate is mentioned both in the scriptures and in some writings outside of the scriptures. In Caesarea, there is actually a stone with his name inscribed on it that everyone believes goes back to the original. And there are some archaeologists working in Jerusalem who believe that they have found the praetorium, the judgment area, where Pilate sat in judgment over Jesus. But who was this guy? Who was Pontius Pilate? I think if truth be told, he was a very minor Roman official in sort of a backwoods outpost of the Roman Empire. He would have disappeared into the mists of history were it not for the fact that he presides over the most famous trial in history. And his name has been carried in the Christian creeds down through the centuries and from one country to another. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. What does Pilate have to do with us? And again, I think he's a cautionary tale for us. If you want to be a leader, a good leader, avoid what he does. Because he's a very bad example for us. If you want to have a good life, avoid what he does. What does he say to us? What can we learn from him? I think, first of all, one quality about this man is that he's really prejudiced. He was appointed by the Roman Emperor Tiberius in 26 AD or CE as governor of Judea. He governed for about 10 years there. But this was not a plum posting. If you were an ambitious person and wanted to get ahead in the Roman colonial service, this was not a place for you. And Pilate, I'm sure, would have loved to be in Egypt, where they knew how to party. He would have loved to be on one of the Greek islands, where the wine was good. But he had very little respect for the Jewish people and their customs. He was very prejudiced against them. And this is not a good way to rule your people. He runs roughshod over all their sensibilities. It so happened that, you know, in Rome, they respected people's local religions for the most part. But Pilate was different. He brought his troops into Jerusalem carrying... They carried little emblems of the emperor Tiberius, and Tiberius at this point was regarded as a god. And the Jewish people were very upset by this action. No one had done this before. And in his residence in Jerusalem, he put up shields bearing the names of all the Roman gods. And again, the Jewish people were very upset. And they asked him to stop this, to take it all down. And he paid no attention to them whatsoever. So they went around him to the emperor and complained to the emperor. And much to Pilate's embarrassment, the emperor took the people's side. And Pilate was told to stop, to cease his activity this way. His job is a little bit shaky. Then again, he wanted to build an aqueduct to bring water into Jerusalem to increase the water supply. And it's a very good project. But he paid for it by raiding the temple treasury. And as a result, there are all kinds of riots, demonstrations in the streets of Jerusalem. And what Pilate did was he sent in the troops, not in uniform. He sent them in civilian dress. They surrounded the demonstrators. And at the right moment, the signal was given and swords were drawn and blood flowed red in the streets of Jerusalem. This is a man who has very little respect for the Jewish people. He has very little respect for their customs and sensibilities. And it's not a good way, really, to start out governing. Prejudice. It's the shadow of Pontius Pilate. And, you know, we may not have those prejudices ourselves, but our society does face a problem today, doesn't it? We read about Jewish synagogues with swastikas on them, their cemeteries desecrated, legal Muslim immigrant children afraid of being harmed on their way to school. According to the FBI, according to the Quinnipiac polls, hate crimes are on the increase in this country all the time. And I wonder what Jesus would say about that. Seems to me, from a Christian view, we respect everyone and their dignity as people made in the image of God. And it's interesting, this church has a real history this way. I'm told that on the 23rd of April, the museum, the Holocaust Museum up in Washington, is going to have a special program on the Nazi influence before the Second World War and how Americans responded to it. And it's my understanding that Reverend Lindsay and this church are part of that demonstration, that part of that program. We have a history. A proud history, something to be celebrated. But prejudice, it's the shadow of Pontius Pilate, who had no respect whatsoever for the people he governed. First quality. Second quality, and some of you will really like this. I don't know if the word is obstinacy or just what it is, but Pontius Pilate did not listen to his wife. I knew some of you would like that. And that's always a big mistake, isn't it? Remember his wife? His wife said she'd had a dream. And that dream was about Jesus, this innocent person, and how Pilate was to stay away, but he doesn't do it. He didn't listen to his wife. And that always gets you into trouble. Two heads are often better than one. So, listen to what your spouse says. There's a third quality here. We've had his prejudice against the people. We've had his stubbornness or whatever you want to call it. is failure to listen. The third one is he knew what was right, but he didn't carry through with it. He knows this is a setup. The priest bringing Jesus to him, he knows Jesus is innocent. But he doesn't stand up for the truth. And, you know, it's interesting. The people, the crowds that have been worked up by the agitators, they say to him, you know, you let this guy go and you're not Caesar's friend. It's not a very veiled threat that they're going to complain to the emperor and his job's already shaky. And I wonder how many of us would really stand up for some poor peasant who has no friends in high places. How many of us would be willing to go home in shame, having lost our job, because we defended someone with no power whatsoever? You know, Abraham Lincoln was once in a situation where he wanted to give a speech on slavery, and all his advisors said, don't do it, you'll just be in trouble, you'll be undercut, everything. And his answer was, if I'm to go down, let me go down linked to the truth. Pontius Pilate was no Lincoln. You know, sometimes it's easy just to go along with the crowd, even when you know what the right thing is. It's easy just to go with the flow and not make a scene. We know politicians, you know often what's right, but to get through that primary, they sort of massage things a bit. We know school officials who see a dedicated teacher punctured by jealousy, and yet they don't do anything because it wouldn't be expedient, politically expedient to do. I think anyone in public position probably faces what Pilate had to deal with. Do you stand for the truth, or do you just go with the flow? And on a different level, I suspect this is something you and I face at different times in our lives. Do we do what's right, even when there's a cost? Or do we just go with the flow, just go with the herd? Pilate did wrong, because he knew what was right. He knew Jesus was innocent. But he didn't stand for it. He sends an innocent man to his death. There's a fourth quality about Pilate too. And that is, he's sort of a classic guy who says, hey, not my fault, yours. He's a buck passer. And you know, there's that scene now where he stands before the crowds and he calls for a basin with water and he washes his hands in front of the people and he says, hey, this is not my fault, it's yours. But this whole trial is a sham, an absolute sham. There are no witnesses for the defendant. There's no lawyer for the defendant. There's no cross-examination. It's a sham. And Pilate seems to be doing everything he possibly can to avoid responsibility. Washing his hands. He sends Jesus over to Herod, who's the local puppet king, and says, hey, this guy's your responsibility. Herod sends him back. No, he's your responsibility. Pontius Pilate says to the priests, let's beat this guy up a little bit, rough him up a little bit, and let him go. And then he says to the crowds who've already been agitated and worked up, then he says to the crowds, hey, it's a holiday, it's Passover time, and it's my custom to release a prisoner. Who do you want released to you? Barabbas, who's actually a terrorist, a murderer, or Jesus, called the Messiah? He does everything he can to avoid responsibility. He does everything he can to avoid being decisive. It's not my fault, he says to the people, it's yours. Sure. You know, there have been a lot of movies and everything about the Second World War, and we've had the story of Churchill, we've had Dunkirk and all the rest. And I was thinking about an incident in Eisenhower's life. This was just as the Allied forces were about to invade Europe, and the weather had been terrible, and it was threatening. They didn't know quite what was happening. And Eisenhower said, it's my duty to make a decision. That's why I'm here. We sail tomorrow. And again, Pontius Pilate was not like that at all. Harry Truman used to say, the buck stops here. Pontius Pilate said, hey, it's not my fault. It's yours. I'm not responsible. The washing of the hands. How false. Pontius Pilate did wrong because he knew what was right and didn't do it. And I suspect there may be a little bit of Pontius Pilate sometimes in you and in me. Sometimes we have those qualities of prejudice. We don't listen. We take the easy way out. We don't stand for what is right. We go with the herd. And we don't like to take the blame or responsibility. We try and pass the buck. And I think of Jesus' words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen.